listening to Clash Royale Radio with Dylan and Caleb in 3, 2, 1.
And welcome back to Clash Royale Radio, episode number 31. I am your host, Dylan. And alongside of me, we got a brand new co-host, Karate. And this is his debut. And man, I'm so glad for you to be on here. But guys, this week we're going to be talking about the new Evo and the Tower Troop. We have a game called Buff and Nerf, or Buff or Nerf. And then what's in the meta for our last segment. And that one's going to be Juicy Karate. But man, Karate, thank you for being a new co-host. I'm super excited to really start this journey with you, man.
I can't thank you for the opportunity that you presented to me.
Absolutely.
I'm glad I can be here, not as just a guest,
exactly,
but as one of your colleagues.
Exactly, man. I'm super happy. I'm excited, man. I can't wait to see what the future holds, man. So,
you and me both, looking forward to some wonderful memories.
Before we get started, guys, if you guys want some news or updates of the podcast, go ahead and follow us on Twitter. And if you guys want more like chatting, discussions, tournaments, even more, guys, you can listen to us live. Join the Discord server. The link will be down in the show notes below. And guys, we haven't gotten a review in a long time. So go ahead and leave a review. It's another, you can support the show that way as well. So Karate, what's the question of the week, man?
The question that I'm going to pull up. We had quite a few like fun questions. I figure we'd try something a little serious this time.
Let's do it.
So the question that I'm going to pull up, it happened to be my own. There was a few kind of recent questions. I figured we'd probably stick with this one. It would be, what is the best era of Clash Royale?
So this is tough for me because I've been being serious in the game, like, I think it was like 4 years ago. I was really got really serious in the game. Man, I like to know what your answer is, man.
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing the game since launch, like 2016, but I took like a little bit of time off, like in between, like going from high school straight to college. But I did start picking up the game more seriously when the pandemic hit. So, I would argue, like, the best meta for, like, the best era of Clash Royale, I would honestly say right around, like, mid-2021 to, like, probably mid-2022. It was a very, like, engaging era. There's a lot of, like, presence in the competitive community in pretty much any community that you can really think of, like,
yeah.
There are quite a, like, I think Champions came out right around that point.
Yep.
Esports just became solo.
Yeah.
I would honestly argue that would probably be one of the most impactful eras of like Clash Royale, like barring like pre-launch, anything like post, like even up to now.
Yeah. Can you think of any like meta decks that were really good back then?
I mean, a lot of it kind of just stuck with like RG, Mortar, like your generic decks that were used in like that competitive kind of era.
Yeah.
Those were kind of the main things that were taking over ladder. I mean, Lava Hound was still very like relevant, like Lava Miner, like the deck that I'm currently using right now, like the style of it. That was probably in its peak at that point.
Yeah.
But, I mean, regardless, you still have, like, a wide variety of options. It was still simple. There's no, like, level 15s. There's no tower troops. There were no evolutions.
Yep.
It was strictly you playing your cards and you reacting to your opponent.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, about 4 years ago when I really got serious in the game, I would go on Royal API, like, I don't know, once a month. And I kid you not, Lava was number one every single time. And I'm sitting here like, why is Lava number one, like the best card in the game? Like, and this is before I even knew what Lava decks were, honestly. So it was just so weird. And then when I met you, Karate, you know, 2 years ago or whatever, you main on Lava, and you taught me how to play Lava. I'm like, man, I actually love this. And that's when I started playing it. So now I know why.
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing it for like,
yeah,
who knows how long. Like, I've turned since I've unlocked it.
That's crazy.
And I would honestly argue that, like, being able, like, I've gotten able to, like, learn how to play, like, every different variant of Lava Hound. Like, I started out as a Lava Hound balloon player. Now, I kind of dialed more into, like, the Lava Miner kind of aspect because, like, from, like, my play style and just in general, I've gotten to learn how to kind of control the battlefield. I've gotten to be able to make my own moments instead of having to rely on my Lava Hound and just my balloon to take towers. I have so many different options. There's so many kind of like defensive potential. I would honestly argue, like, yeah, it's definitely like a higher skill cap deck, but being able to kind of do like kind of interact in the battlefield however you want to, it creates that like sense of like satisfaction because you're creating your own like your own games.
Yeah, it's crazy because I can't play Lava without Miner. It's just, I don't know what it is. I just love sniping their troops, like a Wizard, E-Wiz, a Musketeer, whatever it is, Little Prince. And then arrows on top of that to like predict anything, which is actually kind of easy for the most part. But when you get me with Lava and Loon, Lava Loon, for some reason, I just don't know how to play the balloon. It's just,
it's a slightly different like play style. I will admit, like after playing, like starting out with Lava Loon, then playing with Lava Miner.
Yeah.
And then even going back to Lava Loon in some points, like as of recent, I've definitely realized that it takes a lot, like a whole different kind of mindset.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are the days, man. I mean, Lava's still pretty good and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But yeah, that was a good question. Great question. All right, guys. New Evo and the Tower Troops. I know we're a little late, but we're here talking about it now. So let's start off.
Hey, a little late than never.
Hey, that's right. That's right. But let's start off, guys, with the Battle Ram Evolution. So first off, it's a 2-cycle. It has Evo barbs with it. And basically, it has a charge ability, a supercharge ability, which deals 212 damage, I think, which also kills goblins, which is kind of insane. It's got a strong pushback, and like it has an ability like if it's hitting the tower and it's not dead yet, it'll sit there and just keep bouncing. You're just dribbling basically. So that's the Battle Ram, man. So what do you think about the Battle Ram?
I mean, after like, is what's it been like 2 weeks since the Battle Ram came out?
Yep.
I would honestly say, like, depending on kind of where you're at, like in ladder, it's definitely it's not overpowered at all. I mean, some would argue it's one of the weaker evolutions in the game, just because, like, I mean, a lot, like, you rarely see it. Like in like a lot of like the top players like Muhammad Lay or like Morton, you're not really seeing that as much, just because there's a ton of ways to counter it. And plus, the Dagger Duchess is all over the place.
Yeah,
going from all the way from Challenger 1 and Path of Legends to all the way up to Ultimate Champion, you're gonna see Dagger Duchess all over the place, and just that itself, it does wonders against the Evolved Battle Ram.
Yeah, that's a great point. I kind of figured you would see a lot of bridge spam. You know, when this card was getting ready to be released and we saw like a sneak peek of it before it actually got released, you know, this thing looked overpowered. Like buildings could not counter it. It would ram the building and then just go straight to your tower. It was just absolutely insane. And then whenever it broke apart, you have evolution barbs on you. So that's just crazy. So I thought this card was going to be broken. So I used all my evolution shards for it, and I'm kind of regretting it now. I kind of wish I did the Zap or the Tesla, but It is what it
is. Yeah, and I mean, hindsight's always like 20/20. Because like we've overhyped like the Monk when that came out.
Well, the Monk was really good though, honestly. Before,
yeah, Mercer, but then like we underestimated the Phoenix. So at that point, it's like it's tough to kind of figure out like what cards are going to be good, what cards are going to be bad, like without even knowing how like many people have played, how like all the top players have like kind of used it.
Yeah. Dude, Phoenix was like the most broken card in the game. It was insane. Like, you know it's broken when you play Mirror, or like when people have to play Mirror, and you just win because you mirrored that card.
Remind me, that was back when the Mirror was level 16, right?
Yep, that's right. That's when E-Giant was going nuts.
Yep.
Let's don't go back to that meta.
Oh, I agree with you on that one.
I wanted to learn E-Giant, and believe it or not, I could not figure it out. It was just, I don't know. But yeah, let's not go back to there. All right, new tower troop, the Dagger Duchess. HP, it's the most HP tower, which is kind of crazy. 3,200, I think. What is this, tower 11? Level 11? I don't know what this was.
Tournament standard, it's 3,204 damage.
Okay, yeah.
I maxed out on my account, so... Because I ended up actually caving and investing in the Dagger Duchess.
Right.
Her hit points at, like, level 15, which is, like, the max level, is going to be 4,645.
Okay.
So that's, I think, 200 more than a max level Princess Tower.
Yep, that sounds about right. And then, no, I think this is, yeah, this is definitely level 11 tournament standards. Her damage is 153, and her max DPS is 437. But then after she loses her knives or whatever, her it's 93 damage per second, so that's actually really bad. But yeah, what do you think about the Dagger Duchess?
I mean, there's not much really to think about it. I would argue it's the best tower troop in the game. You see, like going into like the first CRL, which is the Clash Royale League, look at the monthly final for that. I think every single one of, like, every single person that was in there used the Dagger Duchess in all of their games.
I think I heard that too. Yeah, I think you're right.
So I would argue, like, I mean, it is definitely a very strong card or a strong troop because it has that initial, like, burst of damage. It takes out, like, a goblin gang. Does a lot of damage to a drill. Like, only things I really see it struggling against are like big tanks and like really that like beat down oriented kind of style,
which is crazy because the Dagger Duchess work well if you're playing a beat down deck, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it works really well, like with lava, golem, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you argue it's like a double-edged sword in that regard.
Yeah, right. Yeah, she's crazy. Just don't call her princess. That's all you have to just remember that.
Yeah, I mean, in this season, things have gone pretty well, like, for me so far. Like, I've gotten lucky, knock on wood.
Right.
But I actually got to, like, my first time I've ever hit top 1K, like, during the season is with the Dagger Duchess.
That's insane, dude.
And I don't know if that's indicative of like, oh, I'm gradually improving as a player. But I will say the Dagger Duchess has definitely helped me out in a ton of interactions, and it's helped me like with a ton of matchups, especially with like Lava Hound in general.
Yeah.
See, I would argue it's one of the best like combinations you can do, like Dagger Duchess plus Lava Hand.
Yeah, and that's what I'm not using. I'm using the Princess right now because she's level 15, obviously, for me. But the Dagger Duchess is only level 13, and still climbing, or, you know, still working with that. And I will go to like a CC with her and just totally forget I'm even playing with her and try to like, I way overcommit. I'm like, oh wait, I have the Dagger of Duchess. I'm not, so I have to really learn her, the all of the interactions and stuff like that. So that does come in time.
But, yeah, no, that's what happened to me when I first like started playing with her. I'm just like, this does not add, something just does not add up. But then like once I started kind of playing a lot more, once I started to figure out, oh, I can ignore this, I can get away with maybe taking a little less damage, but mm-hmm. not committing as much.
So what would you rate the tower troops right now?
Honestly, I would argue, like, no question about it, Dagger Duchess number one. I mean, I would honestly say Cannoneer might be number two, followed by Princess.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, I've like with Princess Tower, it's a generic tower. It's not going to do anything out of the ordinary.
Right.
It has a consistent fire rate. It does like a decent amount of DPS. And like, you know, it's not going to fail you.
Yeah,
it's a very consistent card. I'm not going to say like one's inherently bad because all three tower troops are very viable.
Yeah, right.
It just depends on the situation that you're in. Because like with Cannoneer, like yeah, you're going to do a lot better against like those beatdown style decks because it's one giant burst of damage mm-hmm. per shot with a slower rate. Where you're going to struggle against like those bait style decks, like Classic Log Bait or like Royal Hogs, mm-hmm. like anything that requires more than one troop. I would say Cannoneer doesn't do as well for that, just because it's going to get overwhelmed and you have to defend a lot more.
Yep. Yeah.
Whereas with Princess, you can afford to take a little bit of extra damage or not commit as much elixir to it. Mm. Same as Dagger Duchess.
Now, for my experience, like I think, yeah, just from my experience, I think Dagger Duchess are number one, and then I would go Princess actually, and then Cannoneer, just because I see Princess more than Cannoneer. But the only reason why I think that is because I don't think people have really maxed out Cannoneer or Dagger Duchess of where I'm at. You know what I mean? So I
would agree with that. Like it's tough to really pinpoint going between the Princess and the Cannoneer. They're both really good. It's just what is working better for your current situation because every player has a different experience with the game.
Yeah.
And their luck with RNG, which I don't know, for people who are not aware, it stands for random number generator. For those, like, so, like, with, like, the tower troop chests, it's all luck-based when it comes to getting the Dagger Duchess versus the Cannoneer versus the Princess Tower.
Which, by the way, that's all I'm getting is Dagger Duchess. I've gotten more of that card than I ever have with Cannoneer. It's, like, by far. It is the, I mean, I'm not complaining. But it's crazy.
That is very interesting. I would say like one of our like members of the Discord community, CZ, he's been having like insane luck when it comes to getting the special tower troops. There was like a streak where he had like a ton of Cannoneers, and then kind of going from there like. Some people have only had princess towers and like very limited cannoneers.
Yeah, that was me. A ton of princesses, and then you get one cannoneer, and then princesses again. Like that's it. But ever since Dagger Duchess came out, dude, I honestly don't remember the last time I've ever not gotten a Dutch. You know what I mean? It's crazy. I've always gotten the Dagger Duchess. It's just weird. But hey, I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful for it. And I'm getting like two each time, it seems like. So
That's more than what I'm getting. I'm only getting one every chest that I get.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
Yeah, I don't know. They haven't banned my account, thankfully, so...
But it is really nice to be able to actually use your wild cards on the on the troops.
Yes, it is. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to max dagger duchess as fast as I can. So, also, guys,
yeah, I decided to do the fast track and buy it.
Yeah, this season, guys, we also have this season, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, the brand new mystery box. So. Anything you've gotten out of that thing? Like, pretty wild?
On my mini account, I got the 50,000 elite wild cards.
Yo, nice. Caleb got that too. A lucky dog.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot more stuff on my mini account than my main account.
It's trying to keep you in the game.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like, I have way more like epic drops and rare through legendary drops than like anything on my mini account. Like, I've gotten the like extra wild cards. I've gotten a book of rares on that account at one point.
Nice.
Is there a book of rares or a book of commons? Whereas on my main account, I've gotten mostly commons, the occasional rare. I've gotten like, I think, one epic. But it's so easy to actually get the mystery box.
Oh, yeah, and I hope they keep it that way. I think it's perfect.
I agree.
Each day it resets. Yeah, I think it's perfect. You have to win 3 games or whatever, get it so many crowns. I forgot what the second
one was. Yeah, a minimum.
Yeah, and it's super easy. You know, just play. If you play, you know, 10 times a day, you're going to get the mystery box every single day, no matter what, you know.
Yeah, it's a matter of time at that point. And you're going to get some good rewards. Like, you're going to get some wild cards, which will boost your progression a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the best I've ever gotten from a mystery box was, I think, 3 champion wild cards. Which is fantastic, because I don't have a single champion maxed yet. Not even to level 14.
I mean, regardless of, like, where you're at when it comes to champions, where, like... If you need to use them, say, fill up some of your under-level champions, or if you happen to have them all maxed, that's a ton of elite wild cards.
It is, yeah.
No matter what, it's a giant benefit.
Yep. Oh, by the way, I just counted how many cards I need left to have maxed. I'm not counting level 15, but to get to level 14, I got 13 left. 13 left to get all 14, so I'm super excited about that. I can't believe how close I am already. It's crazy.
Oh, it is insane. Like, once you start kind of like getting more of those maxed out cards, everything starts to pile up and it'll be much easier just naturally.
Yep. And especially you get more and more elite wild cards too. So.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I will say my account it's close to a max 14. However, I still have a few cards that I need to upgrade, those being the Mega Knight and the Bandit. I'm currently, like, after, like, doing a lot of shop offers because gold is so plentiful at this point.
Right. Alrighty, guys. Here's our game. It's either buff or nerf. I got, I think, 12 cards here. And Karate, we either say buff or nerf. We can't say, you know, I don't think this card needs anything. I think it should stay where it's at. We have to give it something. So.
Yeah, so it's going to be one or the other, no matter what.
Exactly. So number one, guys, the bomber. Crotty, you take this one away. I had to put this one in.
Okay, so I will have some opinions on this because I actively use the evolved bomber, but I will not be opposed for a nerf again, nerf for it.
Yeah. What would you think it would need though? What kind of nerf?
Cycle nerf.
Yes. I 100% agree with that. Make it
like the card is very good by itself. It doesn't need any, it doesn't like, as like a one elixir, it was a one cycle evolution. It's insane, especially for like a two elixir. People use it in drill. People use it in the annoying giant deck. People like pretty much any deck. I mean, I'm playing it in Lava Hound.
I could argue, since it's two elixir card, it probably needs to be a three cycled card, honestly, because it's the highest ranged card in the game. You know, it's a higher range than a expo. I think three cycle, I don't know, maybe I'm just hating, maybe, I don't know. I mean, I like the bomber. It's a really nice card. At least two cycle, not one.
I mean, I would say probably one cycle more at most, just because.
Just to see how it is.
Yeah, because I think two, like, we've had a lot of cases where like Supercell decided to go ballistic and nerf certain cards to the ground, making them unplayable. And then the next set of balance changes, they'll buff it.
Yeah. I mean, the cards.
So I would honestly argue the Evo Bomber could literally just use a one cycle nerf and see how that goes.
Yeah. I forgot what Yeti posted a couple days ago on Discord, but like I think like the top 10 players or whatever, top 10 decks, it was all Evo Bomber, Evo Bomber, Evo Bomber. It's just insane.
Was that like the kind of snapshot from Royal API?
I think it was, yeah. It was just nothing but Evo Bomber.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the time like with that, it's a matter of like, Evolved Bomber and Evolved Zap are the two, I would say, is two of the best cards in the entire game.
Yeah.
That, like, and then you add, like, the Evolved Knight in the equation, and you have the top three right there.
Yep, exactly. All right, guys, number two.
So we're both kind of on the same page where Evo Bomber should use a nerf?
Yeah, exactly. At least a cycle nerf. Definitely.
All right.
The next one is the Dark Goblin. Buff or nerf?
I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, Minnie.
I don't think you can get it a nerf. I think you'd have to give it a buff. And the buff that I would give it, believe it or not, would be a range buff. Give it one more tile. I know that's going to be a lot, but the dang thing dies to log. I don't know. What are your thoughts on a ranged buff?
Honestly, wouldn't be against it. It already has a very solid like DPS.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And if you look at kind of what cards the Dark Goblin does well against versus like is weaker against, it does really well against those like swarmy units, like a skeleton army or even like, this might be a stretch, but piggies.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, I feel like even like you can't really mess with the damage. You can't really mess with the fire rate.
Or the health, really.
Yeah, because that's going to really change a lot of interactions. Going to make it so, like, even if you make it die to log, it's going to be like a bomber in that regard, but just a single target bomber.
Or kind of like an archer, just faster.
Yeah. And like at that point, what do you want to use?
Mm-hmm.
Archers, a bomber that has the ability to evolve.
Yep.
Or a Dark Goblin. I feel like it's too many. I feel like it's almost like too many things for the exact same purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd agree. The next one, guys, the cannon cart. Buff or nerf?
I don't know how many people would feel about this. I would say a buff.
Yeah, I think I would too, honestly.
Like, it's already a driving cannon. It's a cannon on wheels. Like, you're not going to mess with the damage. The range is fine. It's not... There's nothing indicative of the card itself being overpowered. I feel like the thing that you really could kind of mess with is the actual movement speed.
Dude, I was thinking the exact same thing. The movement speed. And I couldn't,
yeah.
I couldn't like determine on whether it needs to be faster or slower. But then again, like it does move pretty slow.
I think it needs to be one notch faster.
I think you're right, because it already moves somewhat slow.
Yeah, let me take a look at what the cannon cart is right now. I honestly think one notch higher would be better. Maybe if it walks as like fast as, say, what's a example of like a fast troop?
Oh, wall breakers. They're pretty, I mean, they're super fast, I would say.
I think they're the very fast regulation.
Oh, okay.
I think, oh yeah, baby dragon.
I'll say maybe the E-barbs. Or are they very
fast? Yeah, I mean, I think that might be a little too fast.
Yeah, I like baby dragon.
I would almost say like as fast as say like a baby dragon, because like you see how the baby dragon moves. It's not sluggish. It doesn't feel like it's lethargic.
Mm-hmm.
You still have that option to kind of present the baby dragon, like, and it'll still like kind of just go at a pretty casual pace. Not too fast, not too slow. I feel the cannon cart could kind of use that kind of speed.
What if, I know it's a cannon cart, and this is just me imagining stuff, but what if, like, when it dies and it turns into a cannon, he's able to, like, attack air as well? Too much?
That would be interesting. However,
it just doesn't fit.
It's already taking inspiration to the actual card, the cannon.
Yeah, right.
So you would have to kind of rework that.
Right.
Because if you look at, like, past balance changes involving the cannon cart in its cannon form, both the cannon cart and the cannon were affected.
True. I did not know that.
Wow. I mean, I didn't know that until kind of looking at how, like, even actually analyzing some of these, like, balance changes going on, like, Royal API for their screenshots for the work in progress stuff. So definitely a movement speed buff would probably make the cannon cart a little more viable.
Yep. I agree, man. That's good. Let's go to the next one, the Rascals. This one's kind of easy for me, too. I would think the range as well. And then, didn't they have a rework of this card not too long ago where they moved the, I don't know what you call the little rascal ladies, but the further back from the giant?
I think so. I mean, that balance change hasn't been like, it was not a recent thing.
Yeah, I think it was
compared to other balance changes that have happened in the past. I want to say it was at least probably 6 months.
Because I was thinking of making them more of a wider triangle shape somewhat, so they were more spread out. And then make the rascal lady or girls or whatever their range a little bit longer.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to really say like buff or nerf in this case.
Yeah.
I don't want to say, I'm definitely not going to say leave it untouched, but I would honestly argue a rework would be better. Even though it doesn't fall into the buff or nerf category.
Wait, can you, if you log this card, does it kill the archers too?
Yes. Okay. It kills. It takes out the Rascal Ladies.
Perfect. So what if they just made this card for Elixir?
That would be enticing. I think that wouldn't. That definitely wouldn't be a bad idea. Like it has. It's basically a knight with two archers. So
yeah.
As much as I don't want to go against that, the like bait style decks in that kind of pool.
That's true. I don't like that either.
I wouldn't be against it because, like, think about it. We have the three musketeers. One musketeer is four elixir. Get three of them at a discounted rate at nine.
Yeah.
You'd kind of do like the same type of like logic with the rascals, the knight and the archers. That's six elixir right there. Take it down to a slightly discounted rate. It wouldn't be a terrible idea for it to be four, but at the same time, you're going to see a lot more of it.
I was getting ready to ask. I wonder if we'd see more and more of this card. I don't know.
Yeah, because I mean, rascals already are a part of Wall Breakers.
That's stupid.
They have Rascal Prince Bait. Mortar. There's a bunch of different like decks where rascals are used. They're not currently the most like meta friendly, but you'll see them every now and then.
Yep. They were meta a couple. It might have been last year, but they were everywhere. It seemed like I was seeing them a lot. And that stupid Wall Breakers, prints, sometimes double prints.
Yeah, it all kind of depends on like the variant and stuff like that. Only about a type that the best buff might just be an Evo.
Yeah, that's how I was kind of thinking with a Dark Goblin. Or the Cannon.
Yeah, I mean, getting like an evolution, I mean, it's definitely going to change the card. Mm-hmm. I want to say it's going to be for the better, but there's really no bad things that come with an evolution.
Yeah.
Besides, it might just take an evolution slot.
Let's go to the next one. The Night Witch. Buff or nerf?
In the spirit of keeping things pretty black and white, I'll go with nerf. Mostly, like, I think personally, the card is good as it is, but we're seeing it a lot more often nowadays, especially with
the Dagger Duchess,
and then the presence of Giant, because Giant Night Witch combo is extremely successful, whether it be in Giant Cycle, Giant Graveyard.
That's true.
Even like in Golem too, like you're gonna see it in plenty of options, like Golem, Elixir Golem. There's so many options for the Night Witch to be in. And a lot of it is those bats that it spawns. Mm-hmm. The only thing I would consider work, like, kind of tweaking is the spawn rate for the bats. Necessarily the health of the Night Witch or, like, the movement speed or whatever. I think the card itself is fine. Maybe just I think the bats themselves are the stuff that like makes it so strong.
Yeah, back in the day, that was another meta we don't want to go to either. the most broken card in the game as well. Her and Phoenix were right against each other.
That was
A lot of clones.
One of the eras of all time.
Whew. I remember that. That's crazy. I mean, clone was everywhere. I mean, when she dies, she threw out four bats, and if you had a cloned one, that'd be eight bats total right there. You have to almost have arrows with it, too. Oh, man, it was just crazy.
Yeah, throwback to the Witch Executioner meta of 2018.
Man. All right.
So many fun memories when it comes to the Night Witch. She's made quite an impact since she's been released.
Yeah, she's still getting, you know, they're still like working with her a little bit, it seems like. I think she got maybe a year ago, they messed with her a little bit. So
yeah, because originally she had no death Deathspawn bats.
Yep.
And I think there was like one, I think it was like something else was changed about the original spawn rate of her bats.
Didn't she spawn like two in a row? Two bats in a row or something?
I mean, she spawns two right now.
Oh, she does? I thought it was one.
I think it used to be one.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
Well, definitely something changed with that recently, like as of like the last time the Night Witch was worked on. But the definitive thing that made the Night Witch really viable originally, before there were zero death bats, was like it spawned more than one bat.
Yeah.
And you might argue that that was a very problematic. I mean, I'm fine with it being one death bat.
Yeah, I do too. Maybe nerf or the buff the spawn rate probably just a little bit faster. But ultimately, we both kind of agreed, like, leave it alone. I think it's decent where it's at. Let's go to the next one. The Giant Snowball. First off, I didn't even know it was called Giant Snowball. I just always called it Snowball. So there's something I didn't know about.
I mean, I feel like it's kind of like the Skarmy. Like, everyone calls it a Skarmy instead of a skeleton army.
True, yeah.
People call Royal Hogs Piggies or Hoggies. It's just a shorter way of calling the card its proper name.
Yep. Well, you already know. I think you already know where I'm going to go with this. I'm going to go with a buff on this thing. And for me, I think the radius of this thing, I think it would be really, really cool to see, especially of how much like squishy troops we see anyway. I think it'd be cool. I think the knockback is good. I think, you know, the slowness is fine. I think just a half a tile bigger. I'd like to see it. I don't know.
Now, you and I are both in agreement when it comes to, I think Snowball needs a buff. But when it comes to figuring out what buff that might be, I think we both kind of differ on that.
What do you got?
I would say probably make it a little longer with the freeze or the slowdown.
Okay.
Maybe like a half a second longer.
That would be
too much.
I'm not impelled to that. Like I really like that too. I thought about that as well, but that, I don't know. I'd really like to see like a half tile, bigger radius, and that might be too much too. You know, I don't know.
My only concern with that would be, I think that is kind of simulating more like a fireball.
I think because you're right.
I think Snowball and Fireball have the same radius,
and I guess it is only a 2-elixir card.
Yeah, you can only get so much out of that. And plus, you have arrows for that like that wider radius.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the big thing is just kind of working on the just the slowdown, just kind of making that a little bit longer.
What about boosted speed?
Like, maybe, like, are you talking about kind of getting it
quicker to its destination?
Out to this troop, yeah. That actually might not be a bad idea. But then, like, you still see, like, it's not going to, you don't want it to be instantaneous like a zap, because, you know, it's a physical thing being thrown.
And if that's the case, if they made it faster, you'd have to have the knockback even further out. That'd be a heck of a hit.
Yeah, I mean, it's really tough to kind of mess with that, because you're going to change a lot of interactions in the game. Like, that's the only thing with spells.
I mean, I think it'd be cool to, you know, if they did a trick on you if they did a mine on your tower, on the inside of your tower, and then snowball it towards the king. I don't know if is that a thing right now?
Actually,
it might be a thing. I don't know.
I know for goblin barrels, if it's perfectly surrounding your tower, a snowball will fully take it out.
Yeah.
But in terms of anything else, there's really not much you can do.
Yeah.
It does have a good amount of knockback, but it's not to the point where it's detrimental to your gameplay.
Yeah. All right, yeah, we both agree on a buff on that card. Let's go to the Witch. buff or nerf?
I know there's going to be a few people who might not like what I'm about to say about this. And for anyone that's going to guess about my reaction, I'm going to say buff.
What would you buff?
Maybe I would say, I mean, the hit speed isn't bad. Maybe, and it'll add like a couple death skeletons, kind of like how the Night Witch has.
Ooh, good idea. Her,
like, death bat.
Yeah. Yeah, just spawn like 4 skeletons or something.
Yeah, I mean, skeletons aren't as like threatening as bats.
Yeah, like anything can see skeletons.
So it's not going to be at the point where you're going to see a ton of witch all over the place. But it's a kind of like a change that might be somewhat needed.
Yeah.
Because you're not seeing witch at all when you get like, say, like higher up in the ranks, because there's so many other,
it's just
more viable options.
Yeah, it's just too high of elixir of what it does.
Yeah, like you get a lot of 4 elixir alternatives that do the job better.
Yeah,
what do you think about it?
So I agree with you on the buff, but mine's more kind of a rework. So my thinking was more going with the Mother Witch idea of turning things to skeletons.
Huh. I mean, I've never completely thought about that, just because, like, you have, like, there's two different witches that you kind of look at. You, like, look at the Night Witch, where, yeah, it spawns things, but it also spawns, like, something when it dies.
Yeah, right.
But then you get the Mother Witch, which has the ability to turn things into other troops.
Yeah.
So, but then you have like the regular witch in the middle, where both of them will take some inspiration.
Well, see, here's the bad thing about the witch. If she ever does that, is she splash as well. So if there's a Skarmy or something, she can do like 4 at a time or whatever, you know, that might be too much, but like, again, they're only skeletons.
So. Yeah. But we've seen, yeah, there's like, I'm talking about evolved skeletons, but you can definitely see how, like, even with different tower troops, like a single skeleton too many on your side of the arena can make a huge difference, because their swing damage at the max level is just over 100.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you leave it unattended, you're gonna see a significant amount of damage done to your tower. Mm-hmm. So either way, like something involving skeletons will be a very crucial kind of point.
Or less skeletons. What does she spawn? 4?
Yeah, she spawns 4 initially. And she keeps recycling them every like couple seconds.
Or make her only spawn 3 and make her only 4 elixir cost. I mean, she's got a pretty good range, and she, like I said, she does splash.
I would probably lower the damage output at that rate too.
Maybe slower speed.
Maybe
lower DPS.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think the overall damage of, like, each little splash, just because, like, I mean, you saw, we, the bomber used to be, like, 3 elixir, mm-hmm. And then everything got reduced on it, like, proportionately to being a 2 elixir card. Ready to move on to the one card that has been incredibly viable for the past, I want to say, 8 years.
Can you guys guess it? We'll give you like 2 seconds. What card is it? All right, let's go with the Lava Hound. Buff or nerf? Crowdy, you take this away, man. This is your card.
Ooh. I mean, it's tough to really say, but for anyone who knows me, and for anyone who's known me for the past few months since this balance change happened,
yeah,
I am advocating heavily for a rebuff to the Hound.
Yep, I 100% agree, because what was it? It wasn't the Lava Hound that was the issue. It was
the pups and everything surrounding the Hound was the problem. This was back when the community balance changes were going on. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that might've been 4 to 6 months ago.
Yeah. Yeah. They messed with the Love Hound. I have to go back and see what they did.
But I think if I'm not mistaken, it was a 6% HP nerf to the Hound.
Yeah. I think you're right. Yeah.
Which that was not necessary.
Agreed.
Like, I do agree that Lava Hound was incredibly, taking over ladder.
Oh, I think I remember what it was. It was the Barbarians. The Barbarians were crazy good when they just came out. And that's when they decided to nerf the Lava Hound for some reason, because they thought, I don't know if they thought, the Lava Hound was just too strong or whatever, so they'll just nerf the Lava Hound.
Well, that set of balance changes was all community driven. I think the people that voted, from what I saw, if I remember correctly, I want to say half of any Lava Hound deck wanted to get nerfed. It was to that kind of point where there were so many cards that were played exclusively in Lava Hound that were working on getting nerfed. And then the occasional Magic Archer buff or a few other random changes.
Yep.
So, and a lot of this was all voted on by the community.
Yep.
I mean, I don't want to say anything, but when you get people in different kind of situations, they vote on what they currently don't like at their current situation.
Exactly.
Whereas we had those memes where nerf miner, nerf miner, nerf miner. We saw I want to say 7 or 8 nerfs to the miner since it came out. And look at it, it's still pretty viable.
I mean, yeah, it's a little bit of damage. It does a lot of chip damage, but it works so well because it you can use it to distract and snipe, It's a fun card. I really like the miner.
Yeah. And then kind of just going back to the Lava Hound, up until that community balance change, there were so many different variants of Lava Hound. There was Lava Loon, Lava Miner, Lava Clone. There was those are the main ones.
Yeah.
But then a bunch of other variants of it. You get some kind of more bait decks for it. You get a whole bunch of other different styles of Lava Loon. Mm-hmm. But then now, you're still seeing Lava Hound a ton, but it's all mostly Lava Hound with Balloon.
And right now too, because of the Dagger Duchess as well. So,
oh yeah, 100%. And I think I'm one of the only people kind of in that contention running Lava Miner, Lava Control.
Yep. All right. The Golden Knight, buff or nerf for the last one?
I would honestly say
a buff. Dude, this is one of my favorite cards.
Be against the buff.
I know it was so good when it came out, but man, and it was so easy to get to tower, and I know, I just kind of miss it because it was so fun to play. But and now people kind of know, like, you know, put goblins behind it to where it only hits one goblin. Like, I love how that's an interaction. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be against it.
Yeah.
It's tough to kind of figure out because, like, it is, like, the weakest champion in the game, I would argue.
Yeah.
That and then, like, probably right above, right, like, either above or below, like, however you kind of twist that.
Yeah.
The one that's less weak, I would probably say, is Monk.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, those are probably the two lowest used champions in the game right now. Like, it's, I mean, in either way, it's tough to kind of figure out what to do with it.
Yeah.
It's not a bad card at all. There's just a ton of other options that are either, like, either cheaper that do the same thing. They're more, some that are, might be a little tankier. It all, there's, like, other options that are more viable for the play style that the Golden Knight serves.
Okay, hear me out. For the Golden Knight, the buff, make it, I think it's at 13 seconds per act when you activate its ability. I would say nerf it to like 10 seconds. To where you could almost get, or almost guaranteed to get, two activations per every time you lay down. I don't know. That might be way too much.
I think that might be a little too much.
Yeah.
Maybe like put it at like 11 or even like 12. Maybe like a second of variance. But I think if you think about it, like, games like in regular time go for 3 minutes. That's basically a good chunk of the game. You're gonna get like a Golden Knight ability if the Golden Knight stays alive.
Okay, then make it to where his dash is smaller.
Yeah, I would definitely go with like something like that, like, reworks it over like a hard buff or a hard nerf.
Yeah. All right, guys, last segment. What's in the meta? And Crotty, this is going to be a fun one, man.
So, oh, boy.
Should we get right into the deck that we want to kind of talk about?
Yeah, might as well rip that Band-Aid right off.
All righty, the Giant Pump deck. Right now, it is going absolutely haywire. Yeah, man, you take it away, man, because I don't really see it a whole lot unless I play like a Grand Challenge or a Classic Challenge, of course. But actually, I see a bunch of random stuff, so I'm mid ladder though. So, like, I'm curious of what this deck means to you.
Yeah, I mean, you and I, like, we're both in like different situations in terms of like Path of Legends or and just like how like we're playing in general.
Yep.
So we're definitely going to be seeing a lot more, like a lot of like a whole different game in that sense. So when it comes to this like Giant Elixir Collector deck, that deck, it came up, I want to say, within the past like 3 or 4 days from today. And from going against it countless times in Ultimate Champion versus going against it in Classic versus Grand Challenges, that deck is extremely, extremely tough to counter. And for those who don't know the components of the deck, it's Evolved Zap, Evolved Bomber, Night Witch, Phoenix, Little Prince, Giant, Arrows, and the Elixir Collector. That's the main variant of that. But people sometimes swap like arrows for other spells like Fireball, Lightning. But the other seven cards of the deck will still be like that kind of core component.
Man.
it has so much offensive and defensive potential where everyone who runs it is using the Dagger Duchess. So it's almost impossible to deal with the Elixir Collectors. Like, you can't use a miner on it. The only thing you can do to get like any kind of value off of the collectors are the earthquakes.
Yeah.
And that's, and like any earthquake deck Hog nowadays,
that Hog EQ is not really a thing because of the Dagger Duchess.
Exactly. It's like you have the Elixir Collector, which it wasn't part of our buffer nerf. I think that deserves a hard nerf. Like, I think it deserves a health nerf.
Well, what were you thinking on the giant? You think that needs a nerf at all?
I don't think the giant needs a nerf. I think it's mostly the Elixir Collector that makes this, that makes that deck so strong.
And just the way the meta is right now, just the way, like I said, Hog EQ is not very good because of Dagger Duchess, and Dagger Duchess is so good to where now you can pump, and with the giant, with Night Witch, and everybody, especially in top ladder, is playing Dagger Duchess. So like, when you get her to, down to the DPS to the worst, you know, to the minimum, it's just game over, man. It's just, that's a nightmare.
Yeah, like even looking at like how the Dagger Duchess affected the game in its entirety, you're not really seeing all these like Mortar, Expo, Hog Rider, like, well, you're not really seeing a lot of like rail hogs either. You're mostly seeing these very beat down oriented decks where all your main goal is to overwhelm your opponent.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like with one giant push. It's not as like control-y or as like cycle based because of the Dagger Duchess. So you're definitely seeing a huge shift in like overall gameplay. And you can definitely see that when it comes to like how like the first Clash Royale monthly finals, how that kind of went, because there was a lot of Lava Hound, a lot of Golem,
yeah.
And everyone was running the Dagger Duchess.
Well, I think Mo Light was playing Golem a lot.
Yeah, he played in his first, in the first game of the first set that he played. He played the Elixir, the Pump Golem deck.
Oh, man.
So definitely looking at how, like, even the landscape of competitive has gone to, it's night and day when it comes to the changes.
Speaking of CRL, now I didn't get a chance to watch all of it. Karate, I think you watched most of it. But if I'm not mistaken, Mo Light won that?
Yeah, so originally, like, Muhammad Light was against, I want to say, Hasael. In the first round, he ended up losing that matchup. He lost, either way, like, whoever he went against, he lost his first match, his first, like, set. So he was in the lower bracket.
Really?
During the entire time. He had to go against the likes of Moogie and like a couple other like really, really elite players that happened to lose early on.
Yeah.
So you would argue, I could argue that Muhammad Light had a tough run going from like the, like, already having a loss all, so he doesn't have as many opportunities to kind of come back or make any mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of seeing how he ended up kind of reducing the amount of mistakes that he made, made such a difference. Because realistically, at that level of like competing in the game, it's not about you outplaying your opponent. There's very little of that at this point.
True. It's all kind of about matchups.
Who makes as little mistakes as possible. Yeah, and also matchups, because, you know, rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, yeah. Which is still, with those pro players, like, even though, like, the matchups, like, don't know, the matchups always seem somewhat even. It's never like, oh, 100-0 matchup. This is bad. You know what I mean? Like you never see that, it seems like. Which is good. It's really fun to see. It's more entertaining that way.
Yeah, I mean, even still, like when you are kind of in that like the dueling mindset, you're trying to create the like decks that have as few bad matchups as possible. Meaning like a lot of the times you're not going to have any like extremely favorable matchups in at the cost of having your deck be more consistent all around.
Mm-hmm.
So like you're not going to see a lot of these like hard counter oriented decks. Like you're not really going to see a ton of Three Musketeers or Barky, just because they're so matchup dependent.
Great point.
A lot of it's all kind of your mindset when it comes to how, like, you want to be as safe as possible. You want to be as conservative because you're in the biggest stage, more than likely, of like your Clash Royale career, being in that like monthly final stage, going against a lot of people within like the top 1,000 of the world, and B, people who are trying to compete for money, because at this point, mm-hmm. every single match that you're in will determine if you're going to make more or not as much money.
Yep. Wait, was Ariel in there too?
Adriel was in there, yeah.
Adriel? Yeah, okay. Yeah, for some reason, after I saw him last year in the World Finals, he was just my favorite player. And I don't really have a pro player that I really like. I mean, I actually really like Ian as a creator. He's just hilarious. But and you know, him and Riley go at it all the time, and it's just hilarious and very entertaining to watch, for me anyway. But I had to pick a pro player, and I just picked Ariel, and it was Adriel. I just really liked him. I liked how he just catches composure, and he was in a big stage. I don't think he's ever been there in that high up before, if I'm not mistaken. But
he did make it into one of the monthly finals towards the tail end of it.
Did he? Wow.
So it was all dependent. It was entirely dependent on like if he went far. I think if he took second and Muhammad late or someone who already had a golden ticket, if it was Ian versus whoever that the person holding the ticket was, then Ian would have guaranteed a spot into the world finals.
Gotcha.
But he was, I think, one or two placements off from making it.
That's crazy.
And then already seeing him at the at that kind of higher level now, being the first monthly like tournament,
mm-hmm.
it shows that he has a ton of potential and a really good chance of making it.
Oh, absolutely. I hope he does. Again, that was so much fun. We definitely have to have a watch party though next time. Here on Discord, have a watch party.
Oh, 100%.
So, guys, if you haven't joined already, please join that Discord.
Oh, I will say, I mean, like, kind of going off of like what you were saying, like how like you have like your like one of your players being like Adriel. Yeah, I would say my player would be Pedro.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about that, and you've liked it for a long time.
Like I had my fair share of run-ins with Pedro before he became the player that we all know him to be.
Yeah, and
I went against him a couple times in a grand challenge in Path of Legends, and when I first went against him, like which I think was a couple of years ago, I instantly knew, like, I was on call with a few of my buddies that were kind of in that competitive sphere. Everyone had like held Pedro in a very high regard then, and then if you look at like how he did in this past like Clash Royale League like tournament,
right?
He t- took Moogie. I think the bracket reset in that matchup.
Yeah, it did. It did reset.
It was such a competitive affair between the two. Like, Moogie ended up winning in the dual format 2-1. So you can kind of see that Pedro is at that high level compared to, say, like the likes of Moogie, Muhammad Light.
Well, let's just put this out there. Pedro is the best mortar player I have probably ever seen. Dude is insane.
I would definitely agree with that. Honestly, I'd say he's one of the best players I've ever gone against.
But all right, guys. Like I said, if you haven't already, please join the Discord. The link will be down in the show notes below here. And then also, guys, we have posted all of our episodes now onto YouTube, so you can check us out there. And then, I totally forgot. Here's our goal for the podcast. Our number one goal, we'll stick with this, but we want to get that creator code. To do that, we have to have a minimum of 100 subs on YouTube. It's no joke. I'm not trying to get subs here, but go ahead and subscribe, because they have to have at least 100 subs on the channel before they even look at you. So it's not even a guarantee that we can get a creator code, but we're going to fight every episode. So join us here. Share the podcast. Obviously sub to on YouTube. We're on Twitter as well. And if you guys want to support us even more, like financially, I did make a donation page. So the link on that will be down at the show notes as well. And we have a Patreon. If you want to be one of our Patreons. Also, thank you, Bytor, for being a Patreon as well. And guys, I think that's going to be it. We will see you in 2 weeks.